Well, after Tony said what he did, I kind of thought, oh man, I got more I can teach on that. I should go back and teach some more. But I actually do have a different message for us to go to. And moving on to that, I want to start with this verse. This is what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 1. Imitate me, just as I also imitate Christ. With this single verse and this simple instruction, Paul's revealing to the Corinthians and to you and I today how we can grow in our relationship in Jesus. And also how we can grow as a church. If they would watch Paul, and if they would imitate Paul, they would grow. They would learn and grow because Paul was living a life that was imitating Jesus. Now, when we hear something like that to our ears today, it kind of sounds a little arrogant to our ears. But this is a sound biblical principle. It's a sound biblical principle that will help us grow in our relationship with Jesus, but it also then does develop the growth of the church as well. It sounds difficult for us, but it is a good, strong principle. Paul is basically saying to them, and by the way, this is a principle that is too often overlooked and not used within the body of Christ. It's a strong principle, but it's not applied enough by us that are faithful believers in Jesus Christ. Paul's essentially saying to them and to us, allow me to mentor you so you can grow in Christ as I grow in Christ. So mentoring, it's beneficial. It builds up both the person who's being mentored, but it also builds up the person who is mentoring. Because I have had amazing and excellent mentors in my life, starting with Donna. Donna's the one who led me to Jesus, and Donna's the one who taught me those biblical foundations, how to live as a believer, all the way through Moses Vey and my pastor, Jim Menke, today. I have amazing mentors, and it creates in me a desire. There's an impetus always in me to teach others, to mentor others. Each one of us, we need to be looking for those that we can mentor. It doesn't matter where you're at in Christ. Whatever you know, somebody needs to know that. Somebody needs to learn it. We need to be looking for people that we can mentor so that they can grow in Christ as we grow in Christ. Now, I believe that we are designed as His creation. I believe that we're designed with a built-in desire to have somebody to be an example for us. We have that desire. And actually, we even see that fact, that desire to have somebody be an example. We see that fact demonstrated in the world at large, even those who are unbelievers. Why do you suppose there's so many people that follow stars or cultural icons on Twitter? They want to know what they're thinking and know what they're doing so that they can emulate them. They want somebody that they can be like. Human nature is we all seek someone that we can emulate. Now, we're supposed to be seeking, because of how we're designed, we're supposed to be seeking those who follow after Jesus Christ. But human nature is, it's the way we're designed. We're looking for someone that we can emulate. And I honestly believe this is why social media is such a powerful draw and hold on people today. And it's not just Twitter. Consider LinkedIn. Everybody knows what LinkedIn is, right? So LinkedIn, consider LinkedIn. There people can connect with other people that are similar professionals. But there they can also post blogs. So they can share what they've learned in their experiences with others. And they can also read blogs of similar professionals to learn and grow from them. They're satisfying that need for mentorship. The world sees that people need to be mentored. Let me give you another example. Starbucks coffee. Not a bastion of Christian thought or principles, but Starbucks coffee, along with LinkedIn and a group called Mentor, they are providing mentorship for youth and young adults. Because they realize that people want to be mentored. They are filling a need, but they're filling the need with worldly principles, with worldly ideologies. People need to imitate you as they see you imitating Jesus. Because we are new creations, I believe that everybody, because we are created, we're His creations, everybody has these desires. But as new creations in Jesus, I believe that as new creations, we all have that need and that desire to have somebody to be an example for us. But there's also that part of your soul that is never satisfied until you get to be an example, until you can mentor someone else. There's a part of you that will always be incomplete until you teach what you know and mentor someone else. You see, we also want to see people imitate us as we imitate Jesus. Mentorship is like links in a chain. It's the passing on of your experience, your wisdom, your knowledge, your revelation. It is the passing on of all of those things to someone else so that they can be even more successful in their Christian walk than you have been. That's what our heart's desire should be. I spent almost 30 years, like 25 years, managing. And one of the things that I always taught the people that are under me, I always went with this mindset, and this is what I told them. My job is to make you better than I am. My job is to prepare you that you could move up and take my place and do it better than I do. Because you have your own unique qualities that Jesus has created in you, and you have your own set of experiences. But if you can gain from my experiences, from my knowledge, from my revelation, and add that to your own, you can be more successful. That is my job as a manager. Well, the same thing is true for us. This is what our heart's desire should be. As we mentor other people, they should be better. They should be better because they're adding your experience, your wisdom, your revelation to their own experiences and their own revelation and to the unique qualities that Jesus created in them. They're adding the best of you to the best of them so they can be the best that they were created to be in Jesus Christ. We need to be mentored, but we need to also mentor. The chain of mentorship leads to success for each successive generation. Mentorship leads to that kind of success from one generation to the next, because each succeeding generation builds upon the wisdom, the knowledge, the experiences of the previous ones. But it's not just the future generations. Mentorship also strengthens this present generation, because here's what happens. It's not just the growth and the benefit of those that you mentor. The mentor himself or herself, the mentor grows and develops as they teach, as they share, as they mentor someone else. This whole principle of mentorship, we see it repeated again and again throughout the Bible. We see this principle. Think of it this way. Jethro mentored Moses. Moses mentored Joshua. Joshua mentored the elders of Israel, and they lived an example for the Israelites. Now, look what happens. We know at the end of the book of Joshua, once Joshua and all of those who were elders with him, once they all passed on, when there was no longer any mentors, we get the change from the book of Joshua to the book of Judges. In the book of Joshua, Joshua is a book about possessing the promises of God. It's possessing the promised land and His promises. But you get to the book of Judges, and no longer do we have that. Judges is summarized by this line. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. This is what happens when we lack that mentorship, and we don't have that building one upon another. Eli mentored Samuel. Samuel mentored both of the first two kings of Israel, Saul and David. Here's another thing. Your job is to mentor, to teach the lessons, to teach the revelations, the personal insights and things that Jesus and the Holy Spirit are showing you. You teach those things and you mentor others in those things. It's not up to you to what happens to them. We have the same individual, Samuel. He mentored both Saul and David. One turned out really well. One failed miserably. You're not responsible for the character of the individual. Your responsibility is to mentor, to pass on those experiences, to pass on the revelations. And listen, there are revelations that you have, I promise you. There's revelations that the Holy Spirit has given you that no one else in this room has. I kind of need it. I want to hear it. I want to know it, and so does everybody else. So as Eli mentored, so do we mentor. It doesn't matter. It's not up to you to determine the outcome. You just do. It's the adage that I love so much. The duty's ours. The results are his. Our duty is to teach and to share those things that he has taught us. Let's go on. Elijah mentored Elijah. Jesus mentored his disciples. His disciples mentored the early church. Paul is a brilliant example himself of mentorship. Just read all of his letters. Look at all the different individuals that Paul himself mentored. Well, you and I, we have the honor of being able to add links to that chain. It's an honor to be able to mentor, to share what you have and what you know with someone else. And let me show you just how vitally important mentorship is. It's more important than I think we generally realize. I think if I ask everybody just in general, do you think mentoring is important? We'd all say, oh yeah, sure, it's important. But I bet we haven't stopped to think about just how important it is. But the Bible does show us how important mentorship is. Here's the example I'd give you. We're all familiar with the verse in Philippians chapter 4 that instructs us that we are to think on good things, right? So this is Philippians chapter 4, verse number 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble. I love that word. Sometime I'm going to do a message just on the word noble. I love that word. Think on things that are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report. Are we doing this? If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on those things. Now, we know that verse, we're familiar with that verse, and we know that that verse, by that verse, we're expected to think on good things. But the reality is, most of us really struggle to think on good things, right? Because if you just listen to the words that come out of the mouths of most believers, if you listen to their words, if you listen to our words, it reveals how much we really struggle with thinking on good things. All too often, our mind goes to the worst case scenario, and we dwell on the worst possible circumstances. Or we think about the wrongs that were committed against us as it causes us to be angry at others. Or we just meditate because we're trained to meditate or think on the negative things instead of thinking about the promises of Jesus Christ. I mean, let's just be honest with each other. It is a battle. Am I alone? It's a battle to think on good things and not the bad things. Somebody tell me that I'm not alone in this. All right. Because I didn't see any heads moving or anything. You're all looking at me like, man, I'm glad I got past that. We need to pray for Todd. If you go out in the world, I think you do see with the body of Christ that this is a constant battle that most people have. I honestly believe that the main reason that so many people struggle in the area, this area of thinking on good things, I think one of the main reasons is because most people have given no attention whatsoever to the verse that immediately follows Philippians 4:8. We all know Philippians 4:8. Most of us don't pay any attention. And that verse is the key to training our minds in how to think on good things instead of bad things. This is what verse number 9 says. Because now you're interested in it, right? The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do. And the God of peace will be with you. How do we learn to think on good things instead of thinking on bad things? How do we learn that? Paul says these things are learned by example. Paul says that he learned these things by the Holy Spirit, and then the Philippians learned it by what they saw and what they heard Paul do. Paul was mentoring them so that they could think on good things. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. That's what Paul is saying. That's the lesson that he's teaching us. So you can see the value and you can see the power. You can see how greatly we need to have this mentoring, to be mentored ourselves, but to also mentor others in the things Jesus has given us. Our lives are stronger for having mentors that we can imitate. And our lives are more radiant and more successful when we mentor other people. Listen to what it says in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 24. If you really want to learn about mentoring, just read through Hebrews and go through Hebrews with the mindset of teach me about mentoring. If you're open to it, you'll be amazed how many different places in Hebrews you do see mentoring and the importance and the vitality of mentoring and the thought and principle of mentoring. It says in Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider and give attentive, continuous care to watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite. I want to stir you up. I want to stimulate you. I want to incite you into the things of Jesus Christ, to love and helpful deeds. And here we go again, noble activities. This is what the desire, because it's in you. There's a part of your soul that is never going to be satisfied until you are actively on the receiving end of being mentored, but also you are actively mentoring somebody else. Look, when somebody mentors you, it is a brand new strong link in that chain of mentorship, because something, some revelation about Jesus Christ is being passed from one person to another. But then when you mentor someone else, you're adding yet another link into that chain. Now, if you're sitting here this morning and you're saying to yourself, I don't really have a mentor in my life, don't dismay. Don't stress out and don't say, well, this message isn't for me yet because I don't have a mentor, so I'll pay attention next time. No, don't dismay. Just begin. Just begin yourself to be a mentor to someone else. You just begin to mentor someone else. When you begin this act of self-sacrifice, of giving of self, when you begin that process, then watch how God reveals mentors to you and for you. We all need mentors. It's the way that we're designed. He has them for you. We all need to be mentors. We all need mentors. We need to be mentoring. You start the process. You take the first step. If you don't have a mentor in your life, I'm telling you, this is just a biblical principle. You take the first step. You begin to invest in someone else. Find someone to invest in. Find someone that you can share principles, ideas, things that Jesus has with you. You take the first step. You invest in someone else. Invest in them and then watch. The number, look, I don't have just one mentor in my life. I could tell you off the top of my head, four main people that have been actively mentors in my life. You start doing the work of mentoring and just watch how Jesus will reveal mentors for you as well. There is a joy. There is a satisfaction that comes when you take someone else by the hand and when you walk with them through their spiritual development. There's a joy and a satisfaction that comes when we do that. And I don't care if you're 70 years old or if you're 7 years old. There is somebody that you can teach the principles to that you have. And when you do that, there's a joy and a satisfaction that you get. Again, I go back to Hebrews because we see this cycle of mentorship in the book of Hebrews. So in Hebrews chapter 6, verses 9 through 12. But beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. Yes, things that accompany salvation. Though we speak in this manner, for God is not unjust to forget your works. I love this. God is not unjust to forget your work, your labor of love, which you have shown towards him, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that each come to you, that each one of you show the same diligence to the same full assurance of hope until the end, and that you do not become sluggish, but, here we go, imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Here's a simple statement, condensation of that. Usually I take simple things and make them much more difficult. This time I'm going to take something and make it much more simple. Imitate those. In your life, imitate those who are inheriting the promises. You see people walking in the promises of Jesus Christ. You see people who are learning and growing. Imitate those people. Follow them instead of following the people on Twitter who are in the world and are writing the most ridiculous and inane things. Donna just sent a story to me yesterday of, for those of you who watched the Super Bowl, Tom Brady, apparently, I don't know all the details of it because they just skimmed it because it was like, really? Tom Brady's talking about how he gets, his wife gave him some strength stones or something. And it makes you say, how can an intelligent adult person believe that, okay, you guys know I like stones, but I know that this is just a clump of mud and material. This is just a clump of matter. It is mineral. That's all it is. There's nothing spiritual. There's nothing emanating out of this. How can an adult simply believe something like that? So this is what I'm talking about. Look for those people who are imitating or inheriting the promises of Jesus. Those are the people that you follow. Imitate those who are imitating Jesus Christ, because then, if you imitate those who are imitating Jesus Christ, then others can imitate you, so they can then learn how to walk into their inherited promises. This is the cycle that we have on mentoring and the value and the importance of mentoring in our lives. I believe that another great demonstration of the value of mentoring is seen in one of the individuals, and Paul mentored many, but it's seen in one of the individuals that Paul himself did mentor, Timothy. Listen to what Paul says about Timothy as he's preparing the church, the Philippians, as he's preparing them to receive Timothy as if they were receiving Paul himself. So here's what Paul says. Philippians chapter 4, verse number, no, I'm sorry. Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you shortly, that I also may be encouraged when I know your state. For I have no one like-minded who will sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are of Christ Jesus, but you know his proven character. Listen to this. That as a son with his father, he served with me in the gospel. So Timothy is a man that Paul trained, that Paul mentored, that Paul prepared so that Timothy could become the man of God that Jesus intended for him to be. And Timothy became obedient and a powerful representative of Jesus Christ. And because of that, now, through mentorship, now we see Timothy being sent out himself to mentor others. Paul mentored Timothy, and now Timothy is being sent out in power to mentor the Philippians. It's that process of mentorship. Amen? Each one of us should be open to looking for people that we can mentor and open to hear and receive from those who Jesus sends to mentor us. Now, if you read through Paul, you'll notice, look at the times that Paul talks about Timothy in his letters. When you read what Paul says about Timothy, you can see that there was a precious relationship between Paul and Timothy. I would even go so far as to say that even by that last line we just read, Paul almost looks at Timothy like a spiritual son. This precious relationship, this special relationship between Paul and Timothy, it's the fruit, it is the result of Paul investing himself into Timothy. Paul being a spiritual mentor, being a spiritual teacher, being a spiritual guide, a spiritual instructor to Timothy. Paul was those things to Timothy. Listen, Jesus provides each one of us. Jesus provides each one of us with opportunities to develop the same kind of noble and precious relationship with others. He provides us an opportunity. It's an opportunity to raise up spiritual sons and daughters in our lives. Now listen, those spiritual sons and daughters, some of them may be like sons and daughters. They may be much younger than you. But spiritual sons and daughters, they might be your peers. They may even be chronologically older than you are. Regardless of the age, keep your eyes open and looking for the opportunities to be a mentor to someone. Because there's people around you in your life. Listen, there are people around you that are looking for someone that they can be excited to imitate. They want to be excited to imitate you because they see you excitedly imitating Jesus Christ. They need a mentor as much as you need to be a mentor. This is the way that God has designed us. We have the desire to have people mentor us, but we also have the innate, built-in desire to mentor others as well. We see this again. There's an example that we can see from another part of God's creation. We see it visible in the social structure of the meerkat communities in southern Africa. Do you guys know what meerkats are? Okay, so Joshua's going to show us a picture of meerkats. So meerkats are kind of like, they're kind of like prairie dogs in this country. It's the same kind of, they live in holes, they burrow, they have a very intense community. So meerkats, there are various communal jobs that all meerkats must share. So each meerkat must learn and does learn every one of these communal jobs, because each meerkat will in his turn do each of these different jobs. Sometimes it's going out and gathering food to bring back to the colony. Sometimes it's staying back behind in the colony to be the babysitters for those meerkat pups that are not yet ready to go off and venture out on their own. Sometimes it's to be the sentinel, the ones that watch for danger and make alerts. And they all learn these different things. They learn these things and they teach these things to one another. So like the sentinels for the meerkats, they each have different sounds that they give. Kind of makes you want to be, not a meerkat, but this should make you want to be a mentor. Because meerkats are one of the only animals on the planet that actually actively do mentoring. So you should have a smile. See, they have the contentment, the fulfillment, because they're able to mentor others as well. So some meerkats are sentinels, and they have different signals, and they have to learn all these different skills. The meerkats that you always see the pictures of, do you guys remember seeing the meerkat, I think it was this Meerkat Manor, so that was Discovery or History Channel? National Geographic, like 4, 5, 6, 7, I don't know, years ago. There was like a daily show, just on. They're fascinating. And one of the things that they show you is that those that are sentinels, they actually, their job is to watch for warnings. So when all the other meerkats are out gathering up food, they're the ones who are watching for danger because they can't protect themselves. So they learn different signals. There's a signal that means warning, danger is in the area, but you don't have to do anything yet. Keep on searching for food. There's other sounds for other things. There's a sound that says, duck and head for cover right now. They have these different sounds. This is all part, all these things have to be taught and learned. But here's one of the things. Every meerkat, they must learn all the different jobs. Every meerkat is a mentor. And in turn, each meerkat will mentor the young meerkat pups in the do's and don'ts of daily life of being a meerkat, in all these things that they learn, but even in eating. Now, you wouldn't think that's important, but it's really important when scorpions are the main part of your diet. You need to know how to eat these things. So here's just an example. So meerkat, the youngest meerkat pups, they have to be taught how to eat a scorpion so that they're not killed by the scorpion that they're eating. So the mentors will bring in a dead scorpion, and the youngest meerkats will eat the dead scorpion, but the mentors are there to show them even the proper way to eat a dead scorpion. But then as they get a little older, they bring in wounded scorpions, and the pups have to kill and eat the wounded scorpion. But the mentors have already removed the stinger from the scorpion so that there's no danger to the pup. And then during this entire process of the pup learning to kill and eat the scorpion, the mentors are there. They observe and they participate in the process to make sure that the proper techniques, the proper safe techniques, are used for the meerkat pups so they can learn how to do this on their own. So everything that meerkats do, it's all taught. It's all from mentorship, from learning how to eat, how to gather food, to how to be a sentinel, to how to babysit the younger ones. All of these things are learned through mentorship. Now, without mentors, the entire meerkat colony would collapse, because the next generation with no mentors would not know how to survive. Meerkats, as I said, they are one of the only animals on the face of the earth, on the planet, that actively mentor others for the good, for the safety, for the continuation and the survival of the colony. Without those mentors, the colony will collapse. In like fashion, mentorship is vital to the present and to the future success of the body of Christ. And the church today doesn't really give proper attention or respect to this whole idea of mentoring and mentorship. Because if you look, just think about some of the believers you know. How many believers do you know that don't know how to read the word with understanding? They don't know about speaking the word and standing on the word in faith. They don't know how to walk into the inherited blessings and promises that are theirs, because nobody has mentored them. Nobody has taught them. You know things that people in the body of Christ that you know and associate need to know. It's part of that process of mentoring. We view ourselves as believers as being students only, always learning. Listen, set this all up. It's a teaching center. Learning, I understand, learning is vitally important, but it doesn't end there. An essential part of learning is teaching and mentoring others in the things that you have learned and the things that you know and the revelations that you have. I will tell you this again and again. You've heard me say it before, and it's a critical point for me. The best way to learn something, teach it. The more you teach it, the more you understand it yourself, because it forces you to take those thoughts, those things that you're learning, and it forces you to coalesce those thoughts in a way that you can communicate it to somebody else, and in that process, boom, 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 it all falls into place and you get better understanding. I think it's easier for me to hear from the Holy Spirit sometimes when I teach others. It's easier for me to hear the Holy Spirit just speaking through us. I would say that the church today is, because of a lack of mentoring, is unbalanced. Because we have way too much, way too high a percentage of the church that is still in spiritual kindergarten or spiritual elementary school. It's because there's wisdom that's out there. We just need to be the ones who share that wisdom and that experience. This is what it says in, again, Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 13. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles. In other words, You need someone to teach you those elementary school things again of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The body of Christ today in our culture here in America, the body of Christ needs to mature. It needs to be able to eat the word and then live on the word. Not just the milk of the word, but the meat of the word, so they can actually live on it. We in this culture, as Christians, as a church, need to become more mature. The church needs mentors, and that works out well because we need to be mentors. As you teach the things that you know, as you teach the word that you know, as you teach the revelation that you have, as you teach those things to others, it helps you, it helps me grow. As I teach you, I grow, so I'm not stuck in spiritual elementary school. I can advance to spiritual secondary education, a spiritual master's, and beyond. If we want to grow in Christ, be a mentor and teach others about mentor. Teach others what you know. Be a mentor to someone else. And if you're frustrated or disappointed because you don't have a mentor, again, I tell you, you take the first step. You begin to mentor someone else and watch how Jesus opens up that door to bring other mentors into your life. Amen? So I have this verse that actually I wanted to teach to you. And all of this was just to set up that verse, which we will get to. But in the meantime, between now and then, just think about these things and keep your eyes open for opportunities today, this week. Look for opportunities because you know there are things that Jesus has taught each one of you. Things that from your experiences and from what you've seen Jesus do and the word that he's given you revelation on, you know things that someone this week is going to need to know. It's from the word that we heard earlier this morning. Just be open. Watch for those opportunities to be that light. And look for people. Look for someone that you can mentor, that you can take by the hand and walk with them in their spiritual journey, in their spiritual development. It is fulfilling. It will fulfill that part of you that nothing else can. Amen? Let's stand up and conclude in worship this morning.